to this edition of Patrolling the Channel, a podcast to help you, the security solution provider, better serve your customers. I'm Jane Wright, and it's great to have you with us. In this special edition of Patrolling the Channel, we're on site at PC Plus Technologies, a solution provider based in Auburn, Massachusetts. Our focus today is on the use of events, such as community events or larger conferences, to generate more exposure for your business and eventually to attract new customers. PC Plus Technologies runs a number of these events each year, so we'll be talking to Greg Abrams, Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of PC Plus Technologies, to learn more about this. Greg, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jane.
What does your typical day look like?
I have never had a typical day.
I'm interviewing Greg at the PC Plus building to get a true perspective on the day-to-day operations of this solution provider.
Actually, a typical day here starts around, people start getting to the building around 7:30 in the morning. Our office hours are 8 to 5, but we're usually here earlier and later than that. And a typical day starts with a check-in with the help desk and find out if any of our managed service customers are having issues, because we'll get monitoring and alerting on them overnight, and we'll be able to figure out if there's any trouble there that we need to respond to. And then after that, we'll work on any open tickets in the help desk mailbox. I'll take a look and just make sure everything seems to be running smooth for the day. After that, it's typically a parade of engineers that walks in and out of my office asking questions about what they're going to be doing for the day, or just, anecdotes about what they ran into yesterday. There's a lot of fires to put out in this business, and usually, in between everything else, I'm finding time to write quotes for customers and do proposals, call back key customers and discuss technical items with them or quotes or respond to RFPs, that kind of thing.
So you're involved in the sales part of the business also?
I am. Yes, I am. Very heavily, but not so much in the management of the sales end. The way we're set up, our salespeople go out and they hunt out new prospects or new business, and then they bring them to us, who I would say is my technical sales team, myself and two others here, and we're the ones who actually design the solutions for the customers. So we're customer facing but not prospecting. Salespeople for us do a lot of prospecting, a lot of high turn, and they're really trying to qualify customers to bring to us. Once the customer is qualified by a salesperson, then we know they're worth spending time on, and then we put together a proposal and a solution for the customer based on their needs.
What are the common security problems that your customers are facing today?
I think the challenges that people are finding in security today have changed a bit, but over the last few years, I don't want to say they haven't changed, but the concerns of the end users are still fairly the same. I don't want to get a virus on my PC, and how can I stop that from happening? And at a higher level, when I'm talking to CEO, CIO type executives, their concern is data leakage. So I'm seeing, at the desktop, at the user level, I don't think much has changed at all. When you start to hit the organizational level of the company, that's when you start to hear things that I wasn't hearing in the past. Like, how do I protect my employees from emailing out spreadsheets of, my customers' names or things like that? So we're hearing a lot more security measures being put in place to stop information from leaving, rather than to stop bad things from coming in.
Now, you mentioned CIOs. Do many of your customers have a CIO, and they're using PC Plus to augment their own staff?
A lot of them do. Our bigger customers do. So we do outsourcing of IT operations as part of our managed service offerings. We've got a help desk that we outsource. We have, as we walked around the building here, and you saw I've got 8 full-time help desk people. We have all kinds of engineering staff that we outsource on a project basis or as a contract. So, for instance, I have a large healthcare customer right now who they have a CIO, and that is it. We are the entire rest of their IT organization. So the CIO manages their contract with us and their other contracts with some vendors. They don't have a lot of other vendors other than us, but we're their hands, their feet, their everything. Their users pick up the phone when they dial the help desk extension. It rings to my help desk unit here. We have announcements that let them know who's calling so that they can answer the phone correctly for the right customer. And then we start the triage process and go all the way up to the solution. So that's a full breadth of services, and we have others who use just pieces and parts.
Walking around the office, it's clear to see that the engineers are busy.
There's an embedded one I can use.
You couldn't get the embedded code for anything after we
What was the biggest customer security difficulty you faced last year, and how did you get through it?
I would say the biggest one we had last year was a virus infection that took out one of our customers for a solid 2 to 3 days while we recovered all their information and got them back on track. That was one of the customers that we had recommended that they make a change to their antivirus solution, and they chose not to, and they were caught with a pretty nasty worm.
Can you tell us about a customer security situation that you consider your most important success?
All of my customer security situations, especially where we're using email encryption devices, are successes. For me, anytime that I can get a forced means of compliance out there, that I can restrict information from leaving a company that is sensitive, that could cause them thousands of dollars in fines, I consider that a huge success. So for me, anytime I've sold an email encryption appliance and put in a forced compliance policy, that's a huge success. And we have over a dozen of them out at our customers in the field now.
How well do you feel supported by your security vendors? And how do you overcome the times when you may not receive the vendor support that you'd like?
That is a good question and a difficult one. For the most part, we try to choose vendors very carefully based around their support organizations and their products. So we have in the past found fantastic products, but chosen not to recommend them to our customers because they don't have the support organization that we need behind them. So if you look at our portfolio of offerings, if you will, we tend to sell and support the strongest, the brands or the solutions that have the strongest support from their own manufacturers. So Sophos being our primary endpoint vendor, when we chose them from a pool of 6 different endpoint security vendors that we were working with. We made our decision based on not only the product, but the responsiveness of the support organization, the responsiveness of the overall company to our request to become a reseller. There were companies that literally didn't even send a resource to talk to us. And we were the number 3 Symantec antivirus partner in New England at one point. So we had a lot of buying power. I think at that time we were somewhere around $400,000 or $500,000 a year in annual AV sales, just to small and medium business. So there was a decent amount of money there that I thought almost any vendor would want, but we were actually very surprised at the lack of response from some of the software vendors. However, others were great. And we also test them all. So when they come in and tell us, oh, well, if you call our support, you're going to get somebody on the phone in less than 2 minutes. So the first thing we do when they leave is we pick up the phone and call their support and see if we can get somebody on the phone in less than 2 minutes. And Sophos was the one who was able to fulfill that. That said, any support organization is always going to fall down sometimes. So that comes back to me to the relationship with the actual company and your relationship with the business, the other business that you're going to have. So strategically, you want to choose a partner that's going to be there for you, not only from the support side, but also from the management side, that you're going to have access to people when something goes wrong.
How much time do you spend in security-related training, and how do you feel about vendor training or certifications?
I don't spend a tremendous amount of time in security-based trainings. I did a while back when HIPAA was first being put out and CMR 20117. I attended several seminars about information management that were very useful. However, most of them were policy-based and not technology-based, and that's a big difference, I think. I think a lot of people are looking at things and saying, oh, this is a technology problem, and really it's a policy and a people problem. That's sort of a whole other question. Getting back to your question, I really do like vendor trainings, and I do like the vendor certification process. I think it's very important for the engineers that you have installing security software in particular to be knowledgeable about its operation and be able to protect you the best they can.
Let's talk about using events to generate exposure and business for your company. What type of events do you have each year?
We have one major event every year, and that's in the fall, and it's our technology fair. And what we do is we sort of create a mini vendor technology expo, if you will. So back in the late 90s and early 2000s, I used to go to Comdex every year. People used to be able to get on a plane and go to Interop or whatever shows that they wanted. When IT budgets sort of fell down and when the market crashed and things slowed down, that became a lot more restrictive on everybody's budget. So what we decided is, well, nobody's getting budget to fly to Vegas to go to a show anymore. Let's bring a show to them. So typically, we've been very successful. We bring in HP, IBM, Lenovo, Sophos, Astaro, and then we bring in some of our local telecom partners and other solutions providers that we work with. And we basically throw a big party and technology event. And those events are just fantastic for not only generating new business, but also refreshing our customers and getting them in to see what's new and why it might be good for them to reinvest in technology.
How many attendees do you usually have at that fall event?
The fall event is typically around 250 attendees. They're usually very well received. We typically start them at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we run usually until 7 or 8 at night, and we offer some kind of entertainment at the end, comedy show or a live band or something, just to create a fun environment.
Do the vendors pay anything towards that? Do they contribute some funds towards the show?
Yes, absolutely. We use marketing development funds from pretty much every vendor for that show. Typical vendor fee is between $750 and $1,500 to come to the event.
And you also do classroom training right here in your office, right?
We do. We train on all the Microsoft productivity products, Microsoft Office family, and we also do some custom trainings on, I think we have one today running on WordPress.
I stopped by the classroom at PC Plus.
How did you search a website to know what their keywords were?
You can go to their website and look at their source code by pressing on Control U.
Yeah, I'm there, but what do you type in to find?
You can just do Control F and find the word keywords. And if they don't have any in there, then they're not going to show up anymore.
Is it one word?
So they must not have any keywords.
Keywords in one word?
And again, like I said, you should also look at their content, what they're writing about, see how they're using their keywords. So, and also, if you, like, for example, my company, we can run ranking reports for you.
Finally, I'll wrap up in asking you, what are your hopes for your business in the next 3 years?
That is a great question. We've been actually in the process of doing a lot of management steering for the business in the last 6 to 8 months. I think the whole industry is changing, and in particular, the box movers, the the CDWs of the world. Over the last, say, 4 or 5 years, they've made it very, very difficult on the smaller resellers like us. And I don't want to say that we're small. I think we're, for our location, I think we're a fairly good size company. They've taken a lot of the margin out of delivering product to the customer through competition. So we wanted to, what we really are focusing on is differentiation. So we're focusing on our brand recognition, differentiating ourselves from the competition as being a service provider who's really here for our customer. So looking out for the customer's best interest. And sometimes that includes having the difficult conversation with them of telling them you're not going to sell them what they want, you're going to sell them what they need.
Greg Abrams, Vice President and Chief Technology Officer of PC Plus Technology, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thanks to all of our listeners. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover in an upcoming edition of Patrolling the Channel, let us know. You can email us at editor@searchsecuritychannel.com. That's editor@searchsecuritychannel.com. And don't forget to check out our entire podcast archive. Just search for Patrolling the Channel. Until next time, I'm Jane Wright.